But does the world say, who am I? Said Jesus to his disciples. What do many say, who am I? He refers to many who were going after him. This is the text that comes immediately after Jesus fed many. And then the question, what do they say, who am I? We know ourselves that Jesus knows what many say, what crowds say. We know that no one was supposed to say to him what people think, not even what lies in their hearts. Gospels, for instance, John's Gospel directly say he did not need anyone to say what was in human heart. He already knew that himself. And yet he asked, what do they say, who am I? Why such question? And why after the other question, what do you say, who am I? Obviously not because he needed knowledge, but because of his disciples. They needed to hear the question. They needed to give response to both of these questions. Luke starts this text in the way by saying that Jesus was in solitude, that Jesus was in silence, that he prayed. But this text already has a tension in the beginning because it says Jesus was alone praying and his disciples were with him. So he's again there alone praying and disciples are close to him. Disciples were with him for a while. They were already able to see enthusiasm of many. They were able to say how he multiplied breads. His unusual words that attracted many people, and they saw more than others, because when they would go back, they would remain with him, and they would see what crowds was not able to see, for instance, that he was withdrawing and always going into silence, into prayer. Luke, even because of that, a little bit later on, would say that when he was in silence praying for the second time, that his disciples said, please teach us how to pray. So for a while they were with him, they were observing what he was doing, but they themselves did not know how to enter in such a way into the prayer. What do many say, who am I? And then the disciples said, one say that you are John the Baptist, the other that you are Elijah, third that you are some of the prophets, more or less. They were coming close to the fact that Jesus was some kind of a religious man, someone who has deep relationship with God and other people, and that he plays religious roles, such as role of the prophets, role of some unusual role, like St. John the Baptist. But that is not enough. The world tends to figure out something about whom he is, but the world doesn't know, and then there is the question, What do you say? After a long while of being with him, what do you say, who am I? That question is needed to disciples because for the mature relationship with God, it is extremely important that in a certain moment, I, with my own words, say, who is he to me? Who is Jesus to me? Who is God to me? Because it is possible to speak about him in phrases, in words, in formulas, in something that the others have to say, but in a certain point, I want to have deep, mature faith, deep, mature personal relationship with God. I need, with my own words, in my own language, who is here to me? That question serves the disciples so they would be able to grow, so their relationship with him would be deepened. So finally, in the word, they would have a statement of what matures in them for a while, and Peter would respond on behalf of everyone, you are Christ. That is the shortest belief. John also finishes his gospel when he said, Jesus is Christ, that is the shortest belief in Christians. Jesus is the anointed one, Jesus is Messiah, Jesus is expected Messiah, he who is here in the flesh and body, Jesus is Christ. And the response of Jesus to such correct answer is very, very important. But we need to understand why it is important. He says it is correct, yes, but I forbid you to speak about that. And then he teaches them something that they, even though they responded in the correct way, that he is Christ, they cannot figure out yet. The other Gospels are going to say that in a much stronger way. They would say that after Peter recognized, after he said that Jesus is Christ, and when Jesus clarified what that meant, Peter started to push him back. Luke does not bring that, but he brings the part of what Jesus says. He says, yes, it is correct, but Son of Man needs to suffer a lot. And then very precisely he says, he needs to be rejected by chief priests, by elders. He is destined to suffer grievously and to be put to death and to be raised up on the third day. Apostles will not be able to figure out until the end. This is not going to be connected with the fact that he is Messiah. They will not be able to understand that, because the public understanding of many people, of the whole Jewish people, Jewish crowds, even his apostles, was such that Messiah cannot be rejected, nor murdered, nor Messiah can suffer. Messiah is supposed to bring a different world. Messiah is supposed to be different. We in the Gospels are going to discover that much sooner, before he came to Golgotha, Peter would be the first one who would say, God forbid that it cannot be far from me, it cannot be that you are Messiah, that you go on the cross, that you've rejected. No, that cannot take place. Jesus is going to cut that immediately. But in Golgotha you will find that already when he's crucified, the chief priests would repeat that in the same way and with the same sentence: if you are Messiah, get down from the cross, because Messiah cannot be on the cross. Messiah cannot suffer. One thing or the other. And the fact that they couldn't understand, that his disciples could not understand that, not even chief priests. Jesus spoke about that on a few occasions before that was to take place. The Gospels say, and Luke repeated that 3 times, he was teaching his own before they would come to Jerusalem. He was teaching them and he was saying to them, let's go there, but the Son of Man needs to suffer a lot. He's going to be rejected, he's going to be murdered, he will rise. He directly, precisely spoke to them. They did not understand anything. And indeed, when he was killed, they will not even have an idea what does resurrection mean. They will not have an idea about other step. They will be scattered around. And when the risen morning comes, Easter morning comes, they will believe to the women that the grave was empty, that he was stolen. But not in any case, they will not have in their awareness the thought about resurrection. This is quite important detail, because Luke said Jesus precisely directed them that he wanted, because he wanted to deepen their faith. But it was very hard for their awareness, and it would be necessary much time. He himself would need to be murdered and killed, so that would be enlightened in their thoughts. And indeed, after resurrection, both Luke and other evangelists say, what was that Jesus did first? He was opening their mind so they would understand what was there in the scriptures about him, so they would understand what was that he already told them. That is quite important for us. That means walking in faith, deepening of relationship with God is going very slowly. It takes much time for that. It does not take place in the night. We should be growing in our faith. We should be deepening our awareness about God, our relationship with God, and understanding of what he says about us and about himself. But that is not that, because this short excerpt of Luke's Gospel says, if you wish to understand who he is, then that is something that concerns your life in a much more profound way than it seems to you at first. It is concerning your own flesh, your own bones, your own life. If you want to follow me, Jesus continued straight away, then you need to renounce yourself, what he is doing, what he did, by coming to us, by renouncing what he is and by becoming man, one of us, by becoming one among us. You need to take up your cross every single day, what he is doing. You need to take your own cross. In the other words, we have the duty that I discover which is my cross. And that is not very simple, because we have so many mistakes, like, you know, confusions about which is my cross. There are people who recognize their cross, who do not want their cross. There are those who take on themselves someone else's crosses, and they do not want to have their own crosses. It is not very simple to recognize our own cross, because once I recognize our cross is the closest relationship with my relationship with God, with what he invited me to be in the world, as well as much as Jesus' cross is in the tightest relationship with what he is, with his mission of him as Messiah. So for us, it is very important to discover which is my relationship towards God. Who is God for me? What do I say who he is? How do I call him? Which name I use for him? Which is the relationship of my interior with him? That is something that stands together. We cannot separate it. It's something that marks me. It is what I am. And now you will see the most important lesson that hasn't been said, but it is present inside. Jesus knows who he is. Jesus knows what his role is. Jesus knows what his cross is, because that is coming out of prayer. It comes out of the relationship with the Father. He comes with a prayer, out of prayer, with the question, what do they say, who am I? And of course, important lesson for me is, if I want to know who am I, which is my mission, why am I here in this world, which is my cross, how am I supposed to take it every single day? I need to come where he is, in the prayer, in the solitude, at the time consecrated only to the relationship with God. If I don't discover that, then the whole world could pass decades without me understanding. And I would not understand, why am I here, which is my cross, and how to take my cross. But if it happens that I, in the prayer, discover who am I, which is my cross, then it would happen, deepening of life. Then the cross does not become less, but it becomes my way into fulfillment of life. Christ said, that is what I'm doing. Learn from me. And in that way, you will learn how you are going to live. When we meet this short text and the words of Jesus, in us his words would resound. And we cannot make them irrelevant. What does the world say? Who he is? We live in many voices that speak about him. What do those voices say about my relationship with him? Am I insecure? Do I not know what is correct? Can I discern which are good, which are truth, which are false relationships? And which is in me the true response to the question who he is? When in the year 2000 in Rome, there was a gathering of youth at that time, Holy Father John Paul II. He took this text, and that night, during the time of the prayer, he spoke to the youth. It is something that we can take for ourselves out of this text as a food of our own soul. If you seek for the truth, because you care about the truth, because you would like to investigate, you would like to understand, your mind seeks for you to understand what is created, seeks for the truth. And once you find the truth, it is impossible that you wouldn't find Jesus. Because when you seek for the truth, you seek for him, even though you haven't even thought about him. If you seek for goodness, because you consider that life is not worth, if unless there is goodness in your and someone else's life, seek for goodness. And once you find goodness, it is impossible that you will not find Jesus. Because Jesus is pure goodness. If you seek for your own way, through life. Seek for your own way. Give all of your strength by seeking for happiness and for your own way. But once you find your own way, it is impossible that you will not find Him who says, I am the way. If you seek for the life and fullness of life, seek for the fullness of life, yes. But once you find it, it is impossible that that is not Him who says, yes, I am life. So out of this text, what boils out is great, huge calling that we become bold to what is important in our lives, that I seek for that, and by seeking for that, that I may discover how in the heart of what makes life worth, despite all of the crosses, even more through the crosses and with the help of the crosses, we have the touch with the living God. May dear God give that by seeking for the truth, for the way, and for life, and for goodness, we ourselves find Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.